Welcome back.
I was going to say, we haven't done like a welcome back in a while. And
oh, no worries. I was literally thinking that though, that we hadn't done welcome back in a while. And I was like, I'm going to throw it in there.
Throw it in there. Yes. Welcome back. I'm Spencer. That's Caitlin.
Wait.
This is... That's eSports. Or we're eSports. I hate it when we
A hard time with my hands.
I'm having a hard time with my words. So, yeah, honestly, if you're new here, welcome. And if you're not new here, welcome back. We are here to talk about all the happenings of the NBA because there's a lot of happenings. And Adam Silver wants to know how to fix the ratings. Get an E! Network show. I don't know. It'd be pretty simple. Bravo, one of those. Because there's a lot.
Great idea.
Do you know how like high the ratings would soar for like it would translate? Okay, if you had the drama, because all of the wives that like don't really care about sports, that but like drama in the sports world would get into it. Okay, and then you just have people like me who are nosy but also love basketball, and I would watch all of the things.
I think that we should host the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it's a reality show, so I don't think they really need hosts. I think they just have cameras following them around.
We're doing reality, darn it. I thought it was like a talk show where we like sit and giggle about everything.
Oh, no, I want like a reality show because like, do you know how many people would watch a film of all the happenings between like we can go right into that? Before we like go into the debuts, the Lakers trade and the all the things, people are getting kicked out of the Mavs stadium. There was a guy on the Jumbotron at the Mavs game saying "Fire Nico," and then they kicked him out. So much is happening.
I literally every single day. I think every single day for the last week, I share at least one tweet and say, the NBA is a reality show because that is just how it feels lately. Like the drama, like I swear to God, things are set up to like
GMs don't know how to stop talking. Like literally, please stop talking. We are begging you as GMs to stop talking. Kaylin and I had like a 30-minute conversation on the phone. I was like, why are they still going? We even talked about this with the Luka thing. Like, you're dragging it. You are dragging the weight thing. You are dragging the injury thing. And then we're Nuggets fans. You have the Nuggets GM over here like, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to be in the playoff rotation. First of all, you're not the coach. Second of all, what young rookie second year player wants to hear that their GM's talking shit about them after the game?
What? He doesn't really deserve that time.
He's like, yeah, I don't know. Julian defensive is going to be rough. I was like, okay. And then you had the Lakers camp coming out. We have to talk about this. So Lakers, right after we filmed, of course, we filmed our trade deadline episode, and then we did kind of a wrap up of the trades on Friday, and it looked like the Lakers had gotten Mark Williams. Okay, well, if you didn't know, the trade was just came out as rescinded because of health issues. Okay, which was really awkward because, you know, Mark Williams was supposed to go to the Lakers, and then the Lakers were going to get Dalton Knecht in a couple seconds, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one first round pick in Dalton Knecht, yeah.
So it's awkward. You know, Mark Williams came over to LA. I don't know if Dalton Knecht like made it to Charlotte yet. Mark Williams comes out and they say, we're like, sorry, I take back. No can do. False. I don't want him anymore because it came out that he failed his physical in multiple ways. They were already concerned about a back issue. But then it was,
and they came said out, that it was no back issues in what they failed him for.
It was something else. And again, this is after like the Lakers came out and like, we're like, well, we didn't know if like Dalton was kind of too soft and not physical enough. Like they were talking mad shit. And then you have this awkward thing. So then this is like our fast recap for what happened. So then the Charlotte Hornets come out and release this long statement like, We're so happy, actually.
I'm about
actually.
To pull it up. I'm going to pull it up and read it to everyone while you talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they released this long statement. Caitlin's going to read it, which was, yeah, essentially like, we actually never wanted to get rid of him. Actually, we're so happy to have him back and can't wait to watch him play, which I'm like,
as our starting center, we're thrilled. Oh,
I'm like, is he not severely injured? I'm confused. Take me through that one. Walk with me. What? Why is he starting? Did you find it?
This is what it said. And like I said, like, this is what's funny to me, because I was joking around about it when they first rescinded the trade. I was like, how funny is it that like Mark Williams goes and fails his physical, has to fly back to Charlotte super
after
injured.
After we talked like, about him being injury prone. And we were like, he'll be good for the Lakers if he plays.
Yep, exactly. And so I was like, how funny is it like flying back to Charlotte and you get to like show up and you're like, hey. Like that meme. How y'all doing?
Hey, how y'all doing?
And he's just like injured. And so then like they have to like treat that or whatever. And then you have Dalton Connect flying back to LA, like, you know, 7 months after they drafted him. They trade him away, and he's been great for them. Yes. This whole
they
thing.
Said, yeah,
absolutely
I don't know
insane.
About him.
Yes. And so once the trade has been rescinded, this is what Charlotte came out with. Charlotte Hornets posted like a, I don't know, what do they call it? Statement. And it says, we're excited to welcome Mark back to our Hornets organization after the other team aggressively pursued. I know. And this is the best part. Aggressively pursued Mark. We made the difficult decision to move him.
Baby, he was over there. He was in. Yeah. He was on Los Angeles soil.
In there like swimwear. And this is the best part, too, is that we made the difficult decision to move him. Oh, I'm sure it was so hard. I'm sure it was so tough. We have always held such great respect for Mark's talent, work ethic, and character. We are thrilled to see him rejoin our roster as a dynamic presence at the starting center position. His return strengthens our team, and we look forward to the impact he will make on and off the
Really? Because y'all moved him real quick.
Yeah, that was a real quick 10-second trade. You did that so super fast.
Before we go to Conspiracy Corner, also, so they released that statement, and it comes out last night from Shams that now they're fighting to rescind the rescension. Is rescind? I don't know. They're trying to take back. They're like, no gives backsies. We don't want him. So they're like, no, screw you. We want Dalton Connect. So it's like, who is this more awkward for? Okay, if it gets rescinded, because you have Mark Williams who would go to LA after they like traded for you and then realized that they didn't want you, and then or Dalton Connect. I mean, I guess it's like, first of all, it's already awkward for him. If you saw him on the bench last night, he did not look like he wanted to be there.
He did not look happy.
Everyone was like, he's literally in a Jordan tech suit. Like he literally was just sitting
on
the bench, like
miserable. Yeah.
So like, I guess and. Maybe it's not awkward for Dalton because it's like Charlotte fought for you so hard. Like, but as a Mark Williams, like, oh, they traded for you, but then they were like, oh no, fuck you, we don't want you. Well, and then your team is fighting to not have you either. So both teams are like, screw this, dude.
Not me, no, thank you.
We don't want him.
Well, and that's what I found so awkward is like, so you go and you release this statement being like, we're thrilled to have him back.
Thrilled.
We love him. It was so hard to let him go. He's perfect. And then they're like,
come home, Mark.
Behind closed doors, they're like,
how do we take him back,
LA? How do we get him out of here? How do we get him back out of here? We don't want him. I'm like, so what's true, Charlotte? What's true?
Well, then we can move over to Conspiracy Corner because you had some thoughts too, which I found interesting. And then there's a lot of different, you know, theories flying around, but a lot of NBA like insiders and people that, you know, like talk to executives and stuff, it's not ever like people's physicals and stuff like that is never a mystery. Like they almost 100% certainly knew that Mark had these issues. So everyone's like, was it buyer's remorse? Like thinking that, you know, they gave up too much for him, which they did, but they, you know, they wanted to get it. And then Caitlin, I'll let you talk about your theory.
Deal. Well, like, so for me too, I want to start with, like, I'm going to refer back to the Trailblazers when the Warriors traded to get GP2 back from the Trailblazers, Gary Payton II, at the trade deadline, literally, like, I'm talking like a minute before the actual deadline, the Warriors traded to get GP2 back on their team. And when they got GP2 back, they had found that the Blazers had been like mismanaging his injuries this entire time and like brought him back way sooner than...
You talked about this last episode a little bit.
Did I last episode? Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure if I did. Okay, I thought it was you and me on the phone.
Oh, maybe it was.
Oh, it might have been. It might have been. We had a lengthy phone conversation.
I know. Anytime. This is like FaceTime to me. So when we're... Literally. When we're also FaceTiming, it might have actually... I think you're right. But continue.
Okay, perfect. But it came out that the Trailblazers had been like mismanaging his injuries, and they had essentially just been giving him like cortisone shots and like pain reliever type stuff, and like letting him literally play before he was ready. Like, he had just had a serious abdominal surgery, and I'm like, you're like having this guy play. So when the Warriors got him back, they did their physical with him, and they were like, he should not be playing. Like, this guy should not be on the court right now.
WTF. And so,
yeah, literally. And so the Warriors literally were trying to, like, file a grievance with the NBA about them mismanaging his injuries and then trading him to the Warriors with these injuries. Because GP2 did not play another minute in the NBA that NBA season, because that's how bad his injuries were. He literally was sidelined and worked with the Warriors you know, physically therapist-y people or whatever. And they did all this crap to heal him all summer. And then he was finally able to play in like late October. So I'm like, they really screwed with him. And that's kind of why I'm like, you know, it's not hard to believe that maybe Charlotte was doing the same thing. But like you said, like, the Lakers had to have known 90% of the time. Like, you already know that you're coming in with the back issue.
Like, so if all of us know that he's prone to injury, like, it's no news to the Lakers, who actively have inside intel.
Exactly. And who actively pursued him. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
And so either way, so that's kind of like what I always think about when it comes to like trading away injury prone players. The Warriors, what they did was they kept GP2. They were like, we traded for him. He's our player now. We're going to take care of him, but we are going to, you know, reach out to the NBA about the Blazers trading him with injuries, knowing that he was injury prone, because now I don't get to utilize this player. And everything like that, because he's literally so injured that I cannot play him. And so Mark Williams, you know, obviously gets traded, and they kept saying, you know, like that the Hornets didn't meet like a contingency or a condition of the trade. And apparently that was literally just him passing his physical.
Yeah.
But what I kind of saw, because, you know, people are going back and forth, like Rob Pelinka is saying like, we never reached out to him. And then the Charlotte Hornets are saying, we never reached out to him, because the Charlotte Hornets said they pursued Mark aggressively. And so then Rob Pelinka came out and was like, oh, gasp, no, we didn't. But then someone else came out and was like, Luca hand requested him.
Specifically,
so yes, he
asked,
did.
Yeah, for a lob threat.
Exactly. And everyone's lying.
Had liked Mark Williams and...
Yes, exactly. Yeah, apparently Luca had played Mark Williams, you know, in their last couple of matchups against each other and everything. And I guess after each matchup, they would just kind of like talk and, you know, dap each other up and, you know, say good game. But they always had like exchanged super quick, like, I would love to play with you one day, like Mark Williams as a lob threat, Luca as the perfect guy you want
obviously
for a lob threat.
Obviously, Mark Williams of the Charlotte Hornets is like, fuck yeah, I want to play with Luka Doncic.
Literally. And so
in LA now, he's now in LA too. He's with the Lakers.
On my way.
I was here yesterday.
I get to play with the three L's, LeBron, Luka, and the Lakers. Like, that's a win if you're Mark Williams. And so, you know, we're hearing that Luka came out and hand requested him, and that's why the Lakers pursued him. So that kind of is like a big F you to Rob Pelinka. Like, F what you're saying about you not chasing him down because Luka hand requested him. What else would you do? And so People think that maybe Rob Pelinka was like, yes, Luca, I'll do whatever you need. Like almost like whatever performative.
Yeah,
totally. Like you were almost like going for him, you know, the aggressively pursuing. You were almost like trying to show Luca, like, we have you, we have your back. I'm, you know, we're going to trade for this guy that you specifically requested. But like knowing in the back of their head that they were going to be like, no, oh, he's not healthy enough for us. So sorry, yeah. Luca, we got to send this guy back. And so, you know, people are saying that it might just be performative and that the Lakers never even wanted Mark Williams anyway. And they knew that they were not going to accept this trade or go through with the trade, but they wanted to do it to like show Luca that like they have his back. So I think that that's a really interesting theory because I'm like, I can kind of believe that, honestly.
Well, and then it came out that, of course, you know, LeBron, I mean, again, and who knows if, you know, it came out. Who knows if this is actually true? We're not saying this yep. is fact. This is all, you know, these running are all the around theories. The rumor mill. We just have to, mm-hmm. you know, we just have to repeat what we saw. So then it came
it's
out
fun.
Yesterday.
It's drama.
It's fun. So then it came out yesterday that it kind of felt like LeBron's camp was saying that LeBron was even a little upset because, you know, for all these years, he's been trying to get them to spend those picks to get yep. him certain guys and
someone else. Yeah.
And they wouldn't budge. And now, you know, they're willing to like throw those picks out the window. So it's all very awkward. You know, I think it's a really awkward time for the Lakers because, you know, they got Luka to be hopefully their guy for the next 10 years. But LeBron has been their guy for the past several years and is their guy right or supposed to be their guy right now. And he's used yeah. to being the guy. And so I think this is a really awkward time for like both Luka and LeBron. And yeah. I kind of wanted to talk about that because Luka did debut last night. It was a blowout. It felt like in high school when your football team had their homecoming game and they scheduled it against the team that like they the knew they were going to. The literal worst team in, you know, the county. That's how totally. It felt. You know, they played the Jazz. They beat them by like, it was like up 40 at one point. It felt like, yeah. I could be exaggerating,
I can't
even but
pull it up.
Yeah. Luka played for, you know, I think 25 minutes, had 15 points, not super efficient. Again, to be expected. He's been out for, you know, almost a month. You know, I'm
he's
not
he's been
surprised.
Out since mid-December. So almost two yeah. months now.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyone who is like shocked, like, again, every guy says if they even miss like 2 weeks that coming back and playing in the game, you're out of breath in like 15 seconds. They're like, it's just totally. When you're not, it's because again, it's 48 minutes of constant cardio. So it's like,
yeah,
even like I couldn't even, this is why I had to quit soccer. Cause I tried to be a midfielder and, that was too much running for me in eighth grade. I said, no, not me. No way. No how I will not be
track.
Running up and down the field.
Yes. Literally. I did track when I was in high school and the soccer coaches mm-hmm. and the soccer players were like, Caitlin, you have to play soccer. Cause I'm like a good runner. And I was like, you understand that I do track because I can run the 100 and the 200.
I am a
if I run more than, yeah. If I run more than half of a lap, I'm dead on the side. I am laying down on the ground with butt cramps. Okay. You're not going to get more than one field out of me. You know, I can't do that.
I did one season. And then when I went back to, you know, to do my second season in eighth grade, I was like, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this again.
This is too much.
I'm not choosing suffering today. But yeah, so anyone who was shocked, like, you know, Luke is just warming up. He's just getting back. I like the thing that I noticed most is it reminds me a lot, and I'm not the first person to say this, so don't try and come for me because I've heard multiple people talking about this, but I agree because I remember the Dwayne Wade and LeBron early Heat days, okay? It wasn't great the first season because they are both super, you know, were the guy. And yeah. we all know that Luka is super ball dominant and LeBron is super ball dominant. And obviously, like, who even knows if they've had a practice yet together? I'm not even sure. So you
yeah,
can tell,
really,
like,
I've only seen shoot arounds.
You doubt, like, I mean, we doubt Luka's like knows all the plays and the terminology that they use and stuff. But I mean, it still felt like LeBron pretty much always had the ball like in his hands. And so I just like my wonder is like, or question, I guess, if like for you is maybe, do you think it's going to take like a full season for them to kind of learn how to share or like gel?
Yeah. And like, I kind of thought about this too when I was watching the game yesterday. One, the first thing that I noticed was just that, like, which again, to be expected, I think it was really weird for Luka. Like, I don't think mentally he was maybe fully there. He still looked a little down at the beginning. I think the more that he played, you could see the more comfortable he got, and you could see him start smiling when he saw like a lob for him to throw.
Yeah,
and,
that was, you know, really things, cute.
Yeah, you know, just like little stuff like that, you know, like when he kind of started gelling a little bit better with the team, the more he played, and when he was just kind of like all the way in that basketball mode, I think he really kind of mentally got there by the end of his, he's on a minutes restriction currently. It's not anything crazy, but he did only play 24 minutes. And like Spencer said, efficiently, he wasn't the best. He was shooting like 35%. But what I really liked was that he was kind of all over the place too, knowing that his shot wasn't really hitting. I mean, he had, oh God, where did I go? He had 5 rebounds and 4 assists to go on top of that. And he was a plus 15 in the game. So he still made an impact, even if his shot was off. But like you could kind of tell at the beginning, like you said, like they're both very ball dominant players. And there were kind of plays, several plays at the beginning, several offensive possessions where LeBron would take the ball up. And, you know, the passes would kind of like go around Luka, and he wasn't the one kind of creating that. LeBron would make the pass and get the assist. Exactly. LeBron would make the pass and get the assist. Someone else would shoot, and Luka was just kind of like on the wing, like ready to run back on defense. And he's not used to that. He's used to kind of being like a Jokic in the sense that like he's almost a part of every aspect of the game. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I definitely think they're like the Lakers are currently 5th, and I personally think that they can hold on to that and maybe they'll get to the playoffs. But I think before they like really can make a splash in the Western Conference, I think that they'll probably need, you know, the summer to work together and to find out what works best with
you.
Two
have to like find
super
your
ball
rhythm.
Dominant guys. Totally. Yeah, and you do, especially with the type of players that they are. They're both, I mean, LeBron's a small forward and Luka's a point guard. They're different positions, but they play very similarly in their different positions. They both kind of have the same mindset.
It's kind of like with Jokic, it's like find the ball, like get the ball to Jokic first, you know, like let it run through Jokic. And that's, you know, same as like, you're not going to be on the court and not get the ball to LeBron and Luka. Yeah. You're not going to be on the court with Luka and not get the ball to Luka. You know, Jackson Hayes, I'm sure, was having the time of his life. All he had to remember was to jump.
He was living.
He just had to remember to jump. That's all he had to do.
He was 100% 6 for 6. He was living. He was living the dream. He was just taking all the lobs, dunking all night.
I mean, again, when you play with Luka and LeBron, I think it's going to be hard to look bad. I still don't think that he is going to be any kind of threat towards any of like the teams with real bigs, like Jokic and the really big centers. So I'm sure that's maybe something they'll look to in the offseason. I'm assuming they're just going to go like to small ball lineup, you know, throughout the playoffs when we get there. But I really don't think that they can make like a deep run this year, just simply because I think LeBron and Luka are going to have to, one of them is going to have to compromise, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I think,
and no
that
offense,
maybe,
but I don't think it's going to be LeBron, because LeBron's never, I feel like, had to really compromise. I don't know.
Never. No, we you know, Jason and I were saying last night that like LeBron has to be like one of the luckiest basketball players. And that's not to take away from his talent or everything that he's done. I think that, you know, obviously he's in the GOAT conversation. People are talking about him as one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time.
The greatest,
Exactly. So,
even
you know,
though it's Jokic,
I think,
anyway,
period. But
I'm going to get murdered if any Lakers fans are on here. Please, please don't be mean to me. You guys are so nasty sometimes, okay? We're just being
silly, funny, goofy, okay?
We can agree to disagree, okay?
Period. Let us have fun here. But, like, I think that, you know, like you said, like, I mean, he's just, like, he's gotten to play with so many, you know, incredible players, too. And to kind of have Luka handed over to him on a silver platter, like, that's, if you're LeBron at 40 years old, like, what more can you ask for? You're like, oh, you're giving me one of the best offensive players in the entire world for my last couple of years playing in the NBA.
Sick. Love this.
Say less. Say less. And so, but I think that you're right. I think that, like, one of them is going to have to compromise. And I think maybe that's up to JJ Redick to find out how to maybe they stagger them and they stagger minutes and let Luka, you know, take over that. But then at the same time, like, you also have Austin Reeves, like, who also is a good facilitator. And so they just, I don't know. I think that they have a couple things to figure out, but they looked amazing yesterday. Besides Luka's shot, even with him on the court, like, everyone just, like, everyone looked good. They felt good. The vibes were there. The hype was there. And shout out to Laker Nation. I'll never say that again. But for the way that they welcomed Luka, I thought that was really, really cool. It was gross. Yeah. That was really painful to say.
No, the shirts on, you know, every seat was cute. Your PR person did a great job.
Yeah. I just, like,
shout out to Lakers PR.
Literally, though, because I think that having something like that, like, you wouldn't do that for any normal player that's just, like, getting traded at the trade deadline. But I appreciate the fact. Go ahead.
Sorry. Continue. No, you're good. I interrupted you.
Oh.
The floor is yours. Well, I was just going to say, because I guess, like, LeBron obviously usually is introduced last. And then last night he was like, do you want to, like, be introduced last? And Luka was like, just this one game. I was like, that's so sad. I bet Luka's always introduced last.
I know. And that's, like, and that's kind of, like, what I was thinking too, you know, and that's why I like, really appreciated, like, the shirts and everything, because,
yeah,
like, looking at that, like I said, he wouldn't do that for a normal person that gets traded, but knowing, like,
Dalton,
the magnitude,
Dalton wasn't going to get that.
He sure
Mark
wasn't
Williams.
Getting that in
Mark,
Charlotte.
Mark Williams was definitely not going to get that if he actually did come over to the Lakers.
He sure wasn't. But, like, I think they understood the magnitude of what this was for Luka and for the Lakers. And so I appreciated, you know, all of the fans really giving him that moment. And, like, when he nailed his first three, everyone in the crowd was, like, screaming for him. And I have goosies talking about it. It was so sweet. And his wife posted on Instagram a picture of him and their baby in the Luka t-shirt with, like, the court in the background, and was just saying new chapter. And I think that they're, like, I think that they're just ready to move on and ready to start this chapter, like, close the last
one.
I
think it's a long process. I don't know if it can all happen in, like, a week and a half or 2 weeks, however long it's been. It doesn't feel that long.
Period.
I feel like it's definitely like
9 days now.
A day-to-day thing almost.
Yep, totally. And so I just, you know, between that and I don't know if you saw, but the Luka Doncic Foundation, which is obviously Luka's foundation, donated $500,000 to the LA fires. And he also said, you know, he, like, released a statement with it and then was essentially just saying that, like, he plans on being here now to help and in the future. And that, like, one of his main goals, like, he was going to, you know, donate the $500,000. But then after that, one of his main goals is going to be ensuring that all the parks and fields and basketball courts are all put back together and reconstructed and safe, because kids deserve a safe place to play. And I just thought that that was, like, really sweet, because
Did LeBron give anything?
I haven't heard. I'll do some Googling.
The billionaire?
Well, and that was, like, kind of part of my thing, because, like, I was thinking about it and I'm like, I know that, like, you know, he makes gajillions of dollars, Luka does, but I'm like, $500,000 is a big check to just, like, write and hand over. Like, that's a lot of money. Okay, good. No, you're totally fine.
He sent his support. He sent words of support.
Thank God we have him. Thank God we have his billions of dollars in his pocket that he said, uses for support.
I pray this nightmare ends soon. So many prayers on Twitter. Thank. Wow.
I'm praying hard for that. Yeah, that's love that.
Wow. Thank you so much, LeBron.
Literally. But like that's, again, that's what I loved about it, though, is that like Luca pops in to this city, like after like people were meet, not people, but like, you know, after like the Mavs screwed him over. Yeah. And like the way that I put it was that like, I love that he went out and he continued to do good, even with good not being done to him. Yeah. Like, shout out to you. Be the bigger person.
LeBron, you're literally a billionaire and all you could do is tweet sending prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Did you LeBron. Watch Bridgerton or no?
I watched like the first season, I think.
Oh, okay. There's like a scene where like the queen's daughter or son is crying or so. The son, I think, she goes, sorrows, prayers, sorrows. She was like disgusted. She was like, get away from me.
You could fix those. That's disgusting.
She said, take your sniveling somewhere else.
Literally.
Should we move on to the other half of this trade then? Because there's still drama happening in Dallas. As I said, people are getting kicked out of the stadium. And as the Mavs got the entire Anthony Davis experience.
So quickly.
In one game, he came out. He was on fire. He said, I'm here. And it gave me goosebumps. Okay. I was really happy because again, like everyone's focused on Luka. I feel like obviously majorly in this trade. Cause again, Luka is the 25 superstar, you know? But Anthony Davis was a really big part of LA. And, I felt really bad for him too. Cause it was another guy that had to uproot his life in the middle of the year. So yeah. I was actually happy for him and I've never really cared for Anthony Davis, but I was like, okay, he came out on fire. You know, the Mavs front court looked exactly how we thought it was going to be, which was massive. Okay. And
terrifying.
And I mean, he had an insane, insane stat line, like a double-double, you know, in the half.
Oh, yeah, here. I was going to say, I got you if you want me to read off his stats real quick.
Please do. Because
He played 31 minutes and in those 31 minutes, he had 26 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 blocks.
He was like, everywhere.
He went crazy.
He went crazy and then he went down.
After going crazy, he went down.
He went out, you know, and came out in the press conference and was like, oh, like nothing to worry about. And then it came out yesterday or 2 days ago that he would now be out for several weeks, maybe a month. And then now it's like might have season ending surgery.
Indefinitely. And that's like kind of the sketchy part. And so, first of all, a bunch of people came for us for referencing the fact that Anthony Davis is injury prone. And just because he has had
one good full season.
Yes. Last season and this season have been like his two healthiest seasons in a very long time. Like, we're not discounting that. We were essentially referencing the fact that like over the last decade, he literally has had a nickname called Street Clothes. And so for the Mavs to use like Luka's conditioning and him being injury prone as an excuse was just dumb, because you're getting someone who literally has always been injury prone, except for like the last couple of years.
That's what we
can't
get over. Like, no one. Yes. And that's what we were saying too, because everyone's like, oh, like Mavs fans may, you know, be fine. And everyone's like, no one's saying Anthony Davis is bad. Like, no one was saying that.
No.
They were just saying, out of all the people to trade your star for, if you're going to blame it on, you know, health and missing games, to do it for Anthony Davis and then for it to happen immediately, that's like karma.
The first game.
The basketball gods are always watching. Okay, Nico Harrison, no one is exempt. And then Daniel Gafford yesterday goes down. Do we have an update on that, by the way? I haven't seen anything.
Well, and that's that's kind of the awkward part too. While you look that up, I'll talk about this.
You talk to them.
That's kind of, I'll chat with the friends, keep you guys busy. I'm babysitting. But what, like the awkward part about like the whole Anthony Davis going down thing is that like they, you know, of Anthony Davis comes out and is like, oh, like it'll be fine. And then they're like, okay, it's like, you know, a strain, it'll be several weeks. And then they were like, it might actually be worse, could be indefinitely. We'll come out and we'll give you guys an update, you know, on Monday. So yesterday. And so everyone was waiting for an update all day. And they never released an update. And so everyone was like, they're avoiding telling us said update because, like, it's probably worse than they were expecting. And now, I mean, like, if you think about it, like, it's this abominable, makes Nico...
I just said abominable. I just mixed abominable, which it is. It's an abomination. and abdomen. Okay.
I'm sure he's got great abdomens.
Abdominal. Thank you. That's what it is, right?
In the abs?
Isn't that what the issue is?
I thought it was... Well, I have no idea. I'll have to look. I thought it was his groin, and maybe I'm wrong. It could be all the above.
No, people thought that's what happened.
Oh, because it looked like a non-contact type injury, and it looked like he was holding his groin after. Right.
It's adductor injury.
Adductor. So that adductor. That is your inside of your hip.
Okay. But, so that's groin? Is that a groin injury? I'm confused.
Essentially, so your abductors are like the outside of your hip and your side butt. And
it's adductors. Like the machine. Oh, that is. Okay, listen. I don't know if any of you watching this have ever had a groin injury.
Awful.
But I was if you didn't know, there goes one of my headphones. I was a ballerina for a very, 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 very long time. Okay. And if you don't stretch correctly and we do, you know, like, and actually I was a cheerleader for a long time as well. And if you don't stretch properly before you do your jumps, you can often tear your groin, and same thing in ballet from doing like plie, squats and things like that. It is so painful, like so painful. And it's like in an instant. Okay. There were times, you know, where I'd go up for a jump or whatever. I would come back down and immediately feel it. And I couldn't even like, so it is not like something that just instantly feels better.
Yep. And with that, with them never like releasing an update on his injury yesterday, then after the game, which they lost by one in overtime to the Kings went on like a 10-0 run to end up winning the game in overtime. Then Jason Kidd didn't talk to the media after.
Refused.
Yep, that's the important word there. He refused to talk to the media. And I don't know if it's just because of just the entire way that yesterday went down for all of them. I mean, like Spencer's mentioned a few times, like there are literally Mavs fans that are getting thrown out. And on Saturday morning, before AD and Max Christie, well, I guess Max Christie played a couple games before. So on Saturday, before AD was debuting for the Mavericks, they had done a bunch of protests in the morning, and then a lot of people went into the game, and in the game there were people trying to take like Luca like fathead faces and signs, and
they
all
were chanting
sorts of stuff.
Luca's not fat, bring him back in unison.
No.
Yes, in
That's
front of the
amazing. They also brought
it
a
was
coffin.
Incredible.
They brought a coffin, I guess, to like, I don't know, symbolize the death of the Mavs franchise. And it was really funny. It seemed to me to be very harmless. Obviously, there were like tons of police activity just in the area, just in case anything got crazy. But it just seemed like it was just a bunch of people there to support Luka and just kind of, you know, shit on Nico, which maybe possibly deserved. But so they have like been literally like people were filming, and anyone trying to get in with like a sign that said anything against the Mavericks, they were like, nope. And they were like stealing people's signs. They were stealing people's Luka fat heads. They were stealing
everything.
They
weren't letting people in.
Yes, they were like literally not letting people in, and they were taking things from people. And then there were people that got kicked out for having Fire Nico signs yesterday. Some guy ended up on the Jumbotron and mouthed Fire Nico, and they literally came and escorted him out. I'm like, you guys are acting like he's an active shooter. You should be escorting Nico Harrison out the game. What do you mean? You should be escorting him out. He's the real guy here.
I'm like, are you like, let people, they're not hurting anyone. Like, be so for real.
Literally. And they paid for their tickets. Like, they paid to get into this game. God forbid, as like, you know, lifelong Mavericks fans, or even just if they're Luka fans, God forbid that they're upset with you for the way that, for the way that this all went down. And I think that's what pisses me off the most, is that like one, Nico's just been like joking around. Like at the beginning, he was like just giggling and laughing and stuff like that, like acting like this is funny and like not like you just literally upended your entire franchise and screwed over all the fans and him.
Watching the interview with Jason Kidd sitting there like this,
and Nico's giggling,
and Nico's like, well, you know, like Jake Kidd and I are always on the same page, you know, even if he wasn't allowed to know what's going on. And I was like, the guy sitting over there pouting does not look like he was on the same page with this one. Don't think
he, so. He looks like he could actually send you straight to,
looks like he wants to murder you with his eyes.
Yeah, literally. No, and that's like, and that's the thing is like, I feel like Nico is not like taking accountability for any of this. And like, I understand that like, it is a business. Of course it is. Like people get traded all the time.
Yeah.
Crazy trades have happened, but like I don't think that Nico understands that like people are literally talking about this, saying that this is going to go down, if not already, as one of the biggest trades in just American sports history. Like you don't understand that like what you did literally will be talked about for decades and decades and decades. Yes. And so, and I'm like, he's just like, I think it's really tactless and classless for him to just like, I mean, like if I were a GM and I traded away our best player and everyone's upset, the last thing I would do is be like, guys, I traded him because he was fat and I was worried. Yeah. I traded him because he needs defense and he sucks obese. At that.
And he literally is, have I said he was fat? If I haven't
have
said
I
it
said
or
that
not.
Yet? Have I said, like, I used to see him post game at the buffet and
he's like, man,
crazy.
And then you see him come out in a Lakers jersey. I'm like, that man doesn't look fat at all. Like,
dude. And like, I think like that's the thing that bugged me. Like if I were Nico and I made this trade and I was sure, like positive that I was doing this for the betterment of the franchise and the team, like I would come out and I would literally release a statement or something like that and be like, I know that this is painful. This is a really hard trade.
This was
Yes, this was a hard decision for us to make. And I know that this is really hard on you guys as Mavs fans. Like, I mean, he has not apologized. And like, again, it's not like he murdered someone.
Yeah, like I feel like you can't apologize, but there was no even sense of, I hear you, I feel for you. You know, like there was just no sense of empathy for what Mavs fans were feeling.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he just like, he couldn't even come out and just be like, I totally understand why you're upset. Luka was an incredible player and we were very lucky to have him for 5 years and, you know, or whatever it was. And we were grateful we got to draft him and have him for this long. And we thank him for everything that he did for us. Like as a GM and just like as a franchise, like, I feel like that's so important, especially for something of this magnitude. Like,
well, it's like, I obviously he's just, like,
I don't know.
They should know now that after you literally dragged it, that Luka is never going to let the Mavs know a moment of peace when he comes to town. Like, ever. ever.
No way, no how. They are screwed.
There's no real update, which is bad, on Daniel Gafford because it looked like a hyperextension injury. And they said the hope is for no ligament damage. Best case scenario is a bone bruise. Worst case scenario is ACL.
I was just about to say, like an ACL or MCL tear.
So you already have Lively down. Then you have AD down. AD. And they haven't given an update. So, and they're like sitting like right inside the plane right now. So,
yeah, it's a
from a team that looked like they were, yeah, from teams that like we all thought were going to be in the top four again this year, at least, you know, like favorites to kind of be in the mix of the Western Conference Finals conversation. Outlook not so great.
Hold on. Are the Mavs going to be in the play-in? Let's shut up. I don't want the corner. Are the Mavs going to be in the play-in? What do we have? Signs point to yes. Okay. I'll take that.
But I worry about that team, you know, depending on who's healthy in a one-off. Because some of the teams that I see, like, that could potentially be in the play-in are scary in one-offs, okay? Like, Warriors don't keep rising, because, you know, they have looked great, and we'll talk about them in just a second, I would never want to play the Warriors in a one-off, okay? Especially, I'm not playing Jimmy Butler in a one-off. No way, no. Like, that. How do you think that man got his team to the finals as an 8 seed?
That's like, exactly what he does. That is what he is known for.
So there's a lot of teams. Playoff Jimmy. There's a lot of teams in the West that I would never want to see in a one-off. Like, I always say, do I think anyone's beating Denver in a 7-game series? No. One-off? Maybe.
You have no idea. I mean, like, literally, the Utah Jazz can beat someone in a one-off, you know? It's crazy. But before we move on to the Warriors, I do just want to shout out Max Christie, because my guy was part of that trade.
I'm loving Max Christie.
Oh my gosh, I love him. And like, that's kind of like the thing that makes me like so mad. I'm like, the freaking Mavs could have like just got Max Christie and kept Luka. Like I don't know, you know, like literally. He's just been such a good role player. I'm going to pull up his stats. Wonderful. Since he started with the Mavs.
He killed it on 80's debut day, because I think he had already played.
Saturday. Yep, he already played a game or two before that. But what did he get on Saturday?
He had a great game.
I have to find. Oh my, he's had several, like he's been playing amazing as a role player since he's come in. So let's see. We have, okay. So his debut for the Mavericks was 6 days ago against the 76ers. He had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal in 30 minutes, which is fantastic for just like a rotational player. Love that for you. And then his
big ears.
Me too. It's okay. His next game 4 days ago against Boston, he had 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block in 30 minutes. And then after that against Houston, 23 minutes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. And then yesterday he had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. I mean, you genuinely could not ask for more from like someone that's just supposed to kind of be in your rotation coming off the bench. That I feel like was just kind of like thrown into this trade to be an addition to AD.
He's been great.
He's been amazing. I've really enjoyed watching him. So I'm really happy for him, and I'm happy that the Mavs have him too.
And before we go, it's just like the poor Mavs, you know, are getting riddled with injury. And someone the other day was like, and they haven't even had the every 3 week Kyrie injury yet.
I was like,
oh, that's so true. Oh,
and Kyrie has to be that guy now.
Yeah, it's rough.
Outlook not so good.
I'm sorry, Mavs fans. Let's move on. Jimmy Butler is a Warrior. After, for the millionth time, he said, I don't want to be here anymore.
I don't want to be here anymore. Spencer and I just have texts back and forth of voice messages saying that.
Because there was a meme, and it was literally Jimmy, and like, it was like Jimmy at Jimmy at the Chicago Bulls. I don't want to be here anymore, huh? And then it was like Jimmy at the Timberwolves. I don't want to be here anymore, huh? And like everything. And then finally, like it just has Adam Silver going, can you just stay? Like, yeah, go to the Warriors and stay there.
Yep.
Or pack your bags and get out of my league.
Yeah. Or pack your bags and get out of my league. So hopefully for the final time of his career, Jimmy has stopped whining. We shall see. I know Steve Kerr and Caitlin are happy people because the Warriors have got someone who is getting a whistle and he's shooting hella free throws, which is hilarious because no one else on the team is. It's so funny. But Jimmy has come in and the Warriors have won two of the games that he's since he's debuted.
Both of them. Yep.
They were down like 20 to, was it to the Blazers? Yeah. And then in his debut game, and then they came back to win, which usually, you know, the Warriors like to give up a lead. They don't like to
it
make someone
Bulls,
else give up their
not
lead.
Not the Blazers.
The Bulls.
Yes, but yeah, we were, there was a 49-point swing to end up beating the Bulls by 21. I mean, we were getting our butts kicked the first half.
And
then
Steph Curry reminded everyone that he is not
who
washed.
He is.
He literally just needed one other person that could dribble a basketball on the Warriors.
Well, and that's, I think that people saying that Steph Curry is washed really underestimate the benefit of having an all-star type player next to someone like you. I mean, like, LeBron had AD. LeBron has had Dwayne Wade. Like, I truly do believe that you need at least two great players. I don't think that you can be carried by one player through the playoffs, unless you're the Jimmy Butler Heat. But I feel like, you know, whatever.
Bam was incredible that series.
I was just about to say, Bam Adebayo was his second player that series. That is so true. But like, I just, you know, the way that I look at it is, first of all, I love you, refs. It's so cool to finally have a whistle. Please, please stop giving him 15 free throws a game.
I don't love you at all. Ben Taylor, when I find out where you live, it's going to be scary. Okay. Because she's
TP your house.
No, I've literally had enough of you this season. And after last night, I've had it past there. I've had it, you know, is Taco Fall the tallest guy that was in the NBA or whatever?
Probably.
Whoever it was, I'm past there. Past where Wemby's hands can go, okay? I've had it up to there. And I will take, I don't know who you're in cahoots with. I don't know if you and SGA are like half cousins twice removed. It feels personal. And I just have to get that out of the way. I will never forgive you. Continue.
Period. Honestly, amen. On the same note, I'm someone, I enjoy ethical basketball. Yes. I even said, if you watched like one of our really, really old videos, we were talking about, you know, like if we were to change one thing in the NBA, what would it be? And for me, it was literally just like any sort of touch foul. Like you don't call fouls unless there's a literal like swat, wind up, swing, something like that. But like if someone's just playing genuine defense and they make incidental contact or, you know, they barely brush up against them, who gives an F? Don't call it. Let them play. They're trained to play physical basketball.
Watching any type of player jump into somebody, and it has been so gross recently. Oh my gosh, watching them jump into the back of someone else to literally while they're just standing there,
it's so frustrating to watch.
I'm like, did I just see? And then they call it, they reward it. I'm like,
they like jump on top of someone, and then they're like, that was personal foul on you.
Personal foul on you. Awful to watch.
Yep. And that's Jimmy Butler. And here's the thing is that I do want to say that like there are players that get called for fouls a lot just because they do. Giannis is one of those guys. Joel Embiid does grift a lot. But he's also one of those guys that even when he's not grifting, they're going to call it anyway because he does. I don't know. I don't remember his name. Joel Embiid. Never heard of him.
Does he play still?
I think last time he played was the Great Depression. I think that was the last time I saw him in the newspaper.
When Obama was president, probably.
When Obama was president, I'm dead.
Jimmy Carter? I don't know. Isn't he the one that just died?
Oh, I think he is. Rest in peace, my guy.
R.I.P.
R.I.P., my guy. But he, like, there are guys like Giannis and stuff like that. Like, he gets calls over and over and over, even if he's not grifting. They just call him for him, and I don't know what it is. Steph Curry and the Warriors, I think a lot of it is the fact that people are obviously tired of the Warriors dominating the league for, like, you know, that 8-year chunk of time. But they haven't gotten calls in years.
Subtle flex.
Steph Curry. Yes, people are literally
for that,
like,
8-year chunk of time. Subtle flex.
By the way, 6 finals in 8 years. So where you at? Anyway.
Speaking of subtle flexes, this literally has nothing to do with NBA. It has everything to do with the Super Bowl. When Tom Brady and Gronk were, when we beat Patrick Mahomes, all we did was make him keep throwing those picks. When we beat the
crap
out of
this. In my first 9 Super Bowls.
I was like...
Be so for real, Patty.
Everyone was like Tom Brady, like trying Tom not Brady. To smile while talking.
He's such a brat. He's, like, he's such a Sorry. Brat.
Okay.
I want to punch him in the face when he talks about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a Broncos fan. I had to deal with that shit for so long. But literally, so annoying. But. Like I said, there are guys that, like, just get handed calls. The Warriors have never been those people. Literally, exactly. But he's also, like, he's kind of like a grifty guy. He creates the contact. And so, like, for Steph Curry, people are always like, well, you know, like, his whole thing is that he shoots threes. You don't get fouled a lot on threes. And I'm like, if you've ever watched a Steph Curry game, yes, he shoots a ton of threes, but he also drives to the basket all the time.
That motherfucker does not stop moving
ever. And, like, and you'll see him literally, like, yes. And he makes the insane, like, he's like the guy that'll just literally throw the ball up in the air after he drives and it somehow makes it in. But he drives the basket all the time. And he's the kind of guy that, like, will play through 4 or 5 defenders because everyone crashes when he drives the basket. And he'll play through multiple defenders. He'll be getting hacked like crazy and no calls ever get called for him. And so to have Steve Kerr is living the dream. He's like, he literally said in his postgame presser after Jimmy's first game, he was like, do you know how nice it is to have someone that gets a whistle? Like, this is kind of fun. I have someone that can actually get fouls called for them.
Man, what's that like?
I know.
We had to have literally had to have like 3 texts yesterday before Jokic finally got the most simple of calls.
Yep. That's a Steph Curry before has kicked a chair and gotten ejected because he was so pissed about the refereeing. And so they would start calling, you know, making calls and shit. But either way, Jimmy Butler looks amazing on the Warriors. Minus the free throws. Yeah. Long story, way longer.
It took us 8 minutes to get there. Jimmy Butler has fit
a fairy table in a fairy tale and a fable. I'm telling a children's story here, all right? Before I get to the point.
A fairy tale and a fable.
Before I get to the point, please listen.
Oh,
listen hard, everyone.
I can't
everyone.
Wait to use that. Oh, my God.
I'm embarrassing. It's fine. But he looks amazing. Like I said, I could do without him sitting at the free throw line all day.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone that's a fan of the Bucks or the Thunder wants to watch that. Like, no one wants to. Like, I complain about not getting basic calls, I am glad that my entire game isn't spent watching my player going,
shoot free throws. With the crowd. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, literally. Ugh. But Steph Curry's happy again. My goat is happy.
Yeah,
he's smiling again.
He
he's
got a competent player on the basketball court.
Literally. And I think, like, the best part is that, like, it takes so much pressure off of Steph. Like, when Steph is your only offensive threat, and he's one of the greatest shooters of all time, if not the greatest shooter of all time, everyone's going to be, I mean, literally he gets doubled on every possession. If he crashes or, you know, if he drives or whatever, everyone crashes and you have 3 or 4 defenders on him at all times when you're inside the paint and stuff. Like, that's just the kind of player that he is. And so to have Jimmy Butler, who was able to literally use his own gravity, Jimmy Butler drove to the basket and had 3 defenders crash and like start, you know, start it trying to defend really, him and
I mean
stop
the
him
spacing
from going up.
Obviously
so good
compared it's to the guys so you had good. Before they oh, that were not shooting threats yeah
otherworldly and he's just like he's played amazing like his shot has been great like just his general like vibe like he seems happy obviously Steph yeah. is thrilled Draymond seems happy everyone can like feel the vibes are different everyone feels I think a little bit more optimistic about their season before everything felt a little bit bleak but I think having a great second offensive option who's also
drawing
a fantastic
defenders.
Defender yeah. Yeah, and he's also a fantastic defender himself. Like, it's just, I think it was a really great addition. I hope it continues to stay that way. Last episode, I was obviously very wary of the whole thing.
Everyone said, and this is how I still feel. Like, they're my biggest question mark, you know? Like, they are playing, mm-hmm. they played small ball last night, didn't they? Like, they had Draymond at the five.
Draymond was their center.
Yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting, you know, against them in those, like they're going to win a lot of games. I think still, obviously it'll be interesting to see them up against, you know, your Denver and, you know, when OKC has their centers, OKC people like that. If the Mavs have anyone healthy, who knows? So, I just think it'll be interesting to keep watching in and see how it all turns out, how it all unfolds.
Me too. And I hope it's as good as it looks currently because I want to stop losing and sucking and I'm out of the play-in.
Yeah, well, the Nuggets are on a 7th-game win streak and we ran out of time to talk about that. But best believe we'll talk about that soon.
It will be hopefully they'll be on an even bigger win streak. When we talk about it later,
my white whale, if you are not a Nuggets fan, is the fact that in the Michael Malone and Jokic era, there has never been a 10 game win streak. We will go like, you know, 12 of 14, or there's always a random loss in there to F it all up. And it's always because like Jokic randomly has to sit out for one, is like sick. That's what happened with the Rockets.
And it's always against the random ass team, too. I mean, well, besides the Rockets, are a great team, but you know, like usually it's like the Blazers.
Well, sometimes
the Hornets.
Or it'll be us going up against the Rockets or the Celtics and it's like MPJ's out, AG's out, Jokic's out. Hope you get the win. So yes.
Best of luck.
The Nuggets have really started rolling. They've found some playability in some of their literal deep bench players. So that's really
There's
exciting
nothing better.
For us Nuggets gals. But thank you all for being here and for coming back or visiting for the first time. Make sure you like the video. That is like the freest way to help us out. Make sure to click the subscribe button. And then there's a share button. If you think and know that anyone else that you know would like us, that'd be really, really silly and really, really cool. We love you guys. And please, if you're new here, become friends with us on our socials. We have everything linked below. We have merch down there for the girls, gays, theys, everybody.
Period.
Wow, I just almost ran out of breath. Anything to conclude?
Go team.
We love sports.
Love everybody. We're so happy that you're here.
We said this yesterday because we
so
were
happy
just
to be here.
We were so excited about all the things happening. We were like, we just love sports because I was being so emotional about our deep bench guys playing well and everyone rooting them on, the starters. We love happy things. Anyway, I have to go so I can edit this and get back to the job that pays me money because this one doesn't yet. Anyway.
I'm just sitting here crying, you know, like just thinking about all the sweet emotional sports moments. It's what I live for. It's what makes me love sports.
Oh my gosh, That's we all. Love it so much. Anyway,
I know. Okay. And like, subscribe, comment, too. Love us, hate us, whatever. Don't hate us or don't tell us that you hate us. Follow
we
us.
We don't
on
need
everything.
To know. Keep it to yourself.
Yep. Zip it. See you later.
Take a note from our advice to the GMs and cut it out.
Okay. Bye. Love you. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye, friends. Talk to you later.